You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Well, we are continuing a series today, and this is, I think, the last part of this series, and it is called, the series is called Therefore Go. Everyone say, go. Look at the person next to you and say, therefore. Look at your second choice, the other person, and say, go. Therefore, go. And this all comes from a scripture, Matthew 28, 18. And I'm going to read it, then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into this thing. Matthew 28, 18 says, then Jesus came to them, talking to his disciples, and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Everyone say, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. If you're taking notes today, write this down for me. Today's message is called Restored for a Purpose. Restored for a purpose. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, right now, I thank you for this moment. God, I thank you that we can gather around your word. Lord, I pray, would you speak to us today? Would it not be my words, but your words, speaking to every heart and mind? God, I pray, would you bless this service? God, I thank you that we can gather together in a country freely and lift up the name above every other name. God, would you speak to us today? You have full permission to speak to our hearts. In your mighty name we pray, amen. I don't know what you're like with technological devices, but I am notoriously bad. Not like using them, like I'm not like an old person. Like I know how to use. I didn't name names, but if you just got annoyed by that, you're probably older. And I'm not talking about the technological side of it, right? I'm talking about the health of the device, okay? I'm notoriously bad for breaking phones, okay? Like, I have a case on it, I have a screen protector on it, but I drop them often, and I'm like, Lord, bless my phone, protect it right now in the name of Jesus. Pick it up and it's broken. Like, notoriously bad for breaking phones. And I got a brand new laptop, and this is like, for legal reasons, I won't say the name, but let's call it a Pear, okay? Like, it's a high, we're talking high, this is a pricey, you know, it's a good laptop. High functioning, works, got good RAM and I don't know, other things that laptops have. I'm old, I've not got the tech lingo. This is a good laptop, and I was working on it diligently, like I'm sat in home working, laptop sat there, and for some reason, I made the decision that the little side bit next to where the mouse is would make a really good coaster for a can of Fanta, and I thought, you know, okay, open the can, like I know it's there, it's gonna be all good. I'm working away. Anyway, I stand up, I walk away from the table, like I'm gonna do something. I come back, and as I sit down, like for some reason, the arm comes round, and the Fanta goes that way, and it covers the entire laptop. Fail, miserable fail. And I'm like, okay, what am I doing? So I pick up the laptop, like I'm like trying to wipe it off the top of it, and then I turn it upside down, like a miracle happens, more Fanta comes out than went in. I'm like, get some like oil things, like we'll start collecting this stuff. Like a miracle happened, Fanta everywhere. And it was inside, it was outside. This thing was covered in Fanta. It was full fat, the sugar was getting like, you know what I mean? When it starts to, you start to feel it on the keys, like this thing was broken. And in those moments, you kind of have a few options. So you can choose to live with the brokenness of the device. You know what I mean? Those people who are like, it's broken, but it's not that bad. Like on the grand scale of life, like if I tilt the screen at a very specific angle, I can just about read the text message coming through. Like it's broken, but it's okay. I'm going to live with the brokenness. The other option is that you can take it to get fixed kind of in a cheap way. Like, I don't know if you've seen like these phone fixing places and laptop fixing places, normally down like a dark, dingy alley, and you walk in, and he's like, yeah, I can fix it for 50 quid. And you're like, okay, and you give him the laptop, and you're like, sure, this is gonna work. You might have a friend, we have a friend called Joachim in our life, and stand up, Joachim, for me. Joachim's a great man of God, but Joachim's watched far too many YouTube videos. And Joachim is convinced that he can fix anything. He's like, I bring the laptop to him. He's like, mate, I've watched 3 tutorials on this. I should practically work for Apple. Like, Pear. Sorry, Pear. I should practically work for Pear. Like, so you give it to him, they start working on it. And the reality is, you get it back and it's worse than it was. No offense, bro. You know, you take it for this cheap fix and you get the results of the cheap fix. It's worse than it actually was in the first place. The other option you have, the third option, is you take it back to the manufacturer. You pay a little bit more, actually a substantial amount more, and they restore it back to new and it's working how it was supposed to work. You know, the Bible tells us that sin has the same effect on our lives. The Bible tells us that sin entangles. Hebrews 12 says, sin, be careful of sin, that it so easily entangles. Like, it paints this image of the Fanta, that it just gets everywhere, inside and out. Sin is a problem that humanity is facing, not just one or two, but the Bible tells us all of humanity has sinned. Every person who has ever lived, apart from Jesus, has sin. They've fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. They have sin. So we know that sin entangles, and it's a problem everyone faces. Sin's a big word. If you're a church for the first time, that's an old-fashioned word. Ultimately, sin is anything that goes against what God has told us to do. Anything in the book that it says, and we go, I'm going to do my own thing, that's sin. Going against God's word, going against what he's told us to do. And it's a big old word, but it's a reality is we all are going through it. We're all facing it. And we have options, 3 options, just like my laptop, to deal with sin. We can live with the brokenness. And many people do this. You know, you're going through things in your life, you're doing things in your life, and you're like, I know this isn't good, but like, if I tilt my life just a little bit this way and tilt it this way and just do this, I can just about get through life living with it. The other option is you go for a cheap fix. And the reality is the world has loads of cheap fixes. They're offering you all sorts of stuff. They'll say, if you do this, it'll make you feel better. Promise. You try it and you're like, it made me feel worse. The social media and culture and society is saying, do this, do this, do this. I promise it'll fix it. It's a cheap fix. Doesn't work. Makes you feel worse. But then there's the third option. There's the third option that we have. See, that's the bad news, those 2 scenarios. Live with the brokenness. Live with what, or go try find a cheap fix that doesn't work. But there's some good news. Because you can take your life back to the Creator and be restored. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the gospel message, that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was broken, but by his grace, I've been made new. Once I was walking with my pain and shame, but now I'm restored. That is the good news. That is the gospel message. And we can summarize it so beautifully with 4 points. Do me a favor, just grab this booklet for you. And this is awesome. We put this together as a team and they've done so good on it. This is ultimately a tool for you to take away off the back of this, which can explain the good news. It explains the whole thing I've just gone through in 4 easy points. It's got loads of brilliant stuff in here. But if you go to the last page, it summarizes like this. The first thing you need to know is that God loves us. Full stop. God loves us. I don't know if you've heard that before, or this is the first time you've ever heard it, but God loves you. He created us to be in relationship with him. We were designed to be in relationship with a Father in heaven who is for us and loves us. But this is where the problem comes in. This is where the can of Fanta gets knocked over. It's called sin. Sin has been a problem that humanity has faced since it made the worst choice. Since it said, I don't need to go God's way. I'm going to go my way. You know the story. Adam, Eve, garden, snake, fruit, sin. You know that story, and sin entered the world. And from that moment on, it's been entangling humanity. That's the bad news. But who's thankful that God didn't just leave us? He said, I've got some good news, and his name's Jesus. Because Jesus came. The third point is this. Jesus died for you and for me. Jesus,
the perfect sacrifice, died. He came to earth, lived a perfect life, and then died on a cross for you and me. And for the joy set before him, the Bible said, who's the joy? You and me. He died on the cross, defeating sin, paying the price for the restoration. I said being restored often costs a lot when you take it back to the Creator, and it cost a whole lot. It cost Jesus' life. But he paid the price for you. So you can come to the Father and go, I know it cost a lot, but I need to be restored. And in that moment, if you come to God with that, he'll restore you. But it doesn't just leave it there, because the fourth point of this is ultimately you need to do something about it. I need to decide to live for God. I need to make a choice of what I'm going to do with Jesus. Because we all have a choice. Life seems complicated, but actually it's two choices. My way, God's way. Are you going to live for Jesus, be restored, or try and find some cheap fixes and live with the brokenness called sin in your life? I know what you're thinking. Joel, great job, message done. In reality, they're like, that's pretty good. 21 minutes on the clock. You can call it a day. We can have an early lunch. Thank you for the gospel message presented beautifully. But here's the reality. The good news doesn't end with us. So if you're here and you're a Christian, you follow Jesus, the good news doesn't end with you. Because our salvation is not the finish line. It's a starter's pistol. When we come to know Jesus, it's not going, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm done. Praise God. Let's just worship the Lord every Sunday for the rest of our lives till we go to heaven. That's not it. We've got a mission. We've got a commission. We've got God saying that you are to go and make disciples. What's that mean? Tell people about Jesus. You have a commission from God to go and make disciples. That is our commission. Our salvation isn't the finish line. I'll say it again. It's the starter's pistol. Matthew 28, the verse for this whole series. Therefore, go. Sometimes I think we can read that and go, he's just talking to like the disciples. That's nice. And look how good they did. They went and now Christianity's everywhere. Praise God. That's not what he's saying. That is an echo for us to follow that. It's talking directly to you and me. Therefore, go into Manchester. Therefore, go to your family. Therefore, go into your workplace, your school, your university campus. Therefore, go and bring the light to the darkest of places. The good news doesn't end with us. It starts. We have been restored for a purpose. Do you want to hear three things that we've been restored for? Do you want to hear three things we've been restored for? Well, write this down. You're taking notes. The first one is this. You've been restored to be connected. After my laptop was fixed, what happened was you can turn it on. It's beautiful. Oh, look how good it is. And Pev done a great job restoring it. So good. It's beautiful. And it looks good. And it's been restored. But for it to function in the way it was designed to function, it needs to be connected to something. We call it the Wi-Fi. We call it like you connect it to the Wi-Fi, then it can actually serve its purpose as a laptop. You know, we're called to be connected as well to God through the church. We are called and created for a purpose, and it's to be connected to God. God has restored us to be in a relationship with him and to be connected to him through his people, the church. Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household. Let me just say, the church is not a good idea, it's a God idea. The disciples didn't sit after Jesus gone back to heaven and gone, guys, I really think we should brand ourselves. What should we call it? The church? Yeah, that sounds good. Like, we should go with that. Should we gather every now and then? Yeah, we should do that. Let's have meals. That's not what happened. It was a commission from God. It's a God idea. God's plan for humanity is the church. God's plan for you and me is the church. God's plan for your friends, family is the church. You can't replace it. You can't change it. It's God's mission for humanity. We're called to be connected, yes, to God, but through his church. When we're connected to the church, our unique gifts and talents connect to God's kingdom purpose. When you are connected to the church, suddenly your new unique gifting gets a kingdom purpose. Because here's the reality. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ, made up of many, many parts. 1 Corinthians 12 summarizes this whole thing, like many parts, foot, arm, ear, all this stuff. And on their own, weird. Let me just say, ears are weird on their own. You see an ear on your own, you're gonna freak out a little bit. Like it's a weird looking thing, okay? Ears are a bit freaky. Eyes are kind of weird when you actually get it, like they're a bit weird. Feet, weird. But when you connect them to the body, it's a miracle in motion. It's a miracle in motion. And your uniqueness is needed by the church, and you need the church. Because out of context, weird, but you bring it into the church, or suddenly we're rocking and rolling, we're fulfilling a purpose of God. You are called to be connected to God through his plan, the church. We hammer the drum, I know, but small groups. I know we say it loads and you're like, Joel, chill out. We say it because 90% of you probably in here aren't in one. And you're like, yeah, I love the idea. I love the idea. Let's get connected. But you won't go to a small group. Small groups are where you get connected. Join a team. Find a team of people you just hang out with and do life with. You are designed to be connected. Come to church more than once a month. Hang out after and before. Oh, gosh, this is like revival. Like that's what you're called to do. It's the church. It's not my life and then my church life. It's my life is my church life. You're called to be connected and planted in the house of God. We were not designed to be alone. Sometimes we can get like, oh yeah, but people aren't my thing, Joel. So, you know, I'm just going to like, just me and God. I'm all for the God thing. I'm all for the God thing. I'm just going to have devotional time. I'll come to church, sit at the back, leave before anyone can talk to me. Just me and God. I just want relationship with God. That is nice, but God says it's not good. Because in Genesis, when Adam is created, it is just him and God. He's just got him and God. And it's like him and God, him and God, him and God. And God looks at it and goes, it's not good for man to be alone. So in a moment, he goes, you got to get connected to some people, buddy. Adam, you need some friends. You need some people. You need, and in a moment, we see that God has designed us. Our purpose is to be connected with others. You need the church to be praying for you, standing with you, laughing with you, crying with you, believing with you. We've been restored for a purpose, and that purpose is connection. Second thing is this, you've been restored to be empowered. The band can join me. You've been restored to be empowered. We are not called to do this in our own strength and ability. We are not called to go and just do it on our own. My laptop, right, it gets restored. They do a great job. And it's connected. Like, it's connected to the Wi-Fi. And it's like, this thing is rocking and rolling. But there comes a point where it runs out of power. There comes a point where it doesn't matter how good it looks, how many connections it's got, there comes a point where the power runs out. And at that point, I gotta plug it in. My friends, as believers and followers of Jesus, you better sure believe you are designed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are not supposed to do this in your own strength. You are not meant to go through your life doing it in your own ability. You're called to do it through the power of God at work in you and through you. We have been restored to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem or Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, what comes first? Let's just go and tell people about Jesus. No, no, no. Power first. Power first. Don't go, if you're just going to go tell people about Jesus and you've not got the power, you're just doing it in your own ability. But you've been designed to be carriers of the same power that rose Christ from the dead. You have been designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to see the supernatural, to see miracles happen, to see breakthrough happen, to see things that you can't explain, but you just know it's the power of God at work in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. When we operate with power, when we live with the power of God in us, we hear the inaudible, see the invisible, believe the incredible, and do the impossible. If you want to make a difference in our world, it's got to be full of the power of God. If you want to see your friends come to know Jesus, stop trying to do it on your own. It's got to be full of the power of God. If you want to see your family member come to know Christ that you've been praying for diligently, you better believe that before you talk to them, you got to go, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh right now. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people, the Bible says. You just got to position yourself to be plugged in and charged by the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we're going to create time for this. I can't do it now. These services are like, we've got things to do. We've got people to go and reach. But tonight, we're going to create space for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not a one-off thing. It's continuous, positioning yourself to be charged. Don't know about you, but when I get my phone and I don't plug it in at night, which happens way too often, what happens is a little thing pops up when it gets to about 10% and it says, hey, do you want to operate in low power mode? And I always click it because I'm like, you know, it ultimately gives you a little thing being like, you know, your device won't operate at the same level it was, but ultimately it saves a little power. So click it. I wonder if as Christians, sometimes we're guilty of operating in low power mode. We've got all the potential, all the gifting, all the calling. We've got all this potential inside of us. But then we wake up Monday morning and go, low power mode. I ain't praying this morning. I wonder if we're guilty sometimes of having a calling on our life to go, but just because we're so busy doing stuff, we forget to charge ourselves up with the Holy Spirit, position ourselves to be filled, and we go low power mode. If you want to make an impact in your family, it's going to take the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me. You want to operate in your purpose. If you want to take this restoration and use it for something that's going to change the world, it's going to take the power of God. We have been restored for purpose, and that purpose is power. Let me encourage you. I don't know what your plans are tonight. You should come back. It's going to be wild tonight when we start to commission people, pray for people to be filled afresh. Third point is this: you have been restored to be sent. You have been restored to be sent. My laptop was connected, like it was restored. It looked great. Connected to the Wi-Fi, like this bad boy's connected. Full of power, just plugged it in. 100%, full up. But then I still had to do something with it for it to actually fulfill the purpose that it was designed for. I had to open the emails, type them out and send it. I had to actually start using it for what it was designed to do. You have not been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, restored by God to stay in a holy huddle where we just hang out with Christians and go, oh, praise God, we're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you for God's grace. You're not called to that. You're called to be sent. Sent with the commission of God going, go therefore to every area of the world, make some disciples. Tell people about how good God has been in your life. Tell them where you were and look where I am now. Tell you that I was lost, but now you better believe I'm found. I was so broken, but I've been restored by God. You have been restored by God with a plan and a purpose to go, go, go. You're in uni, you're there on purpose. Go. You're in a workplace, you better believe you're there on purpose. Go. You got family that don't know Jesus, that's your people. Go and make disciples. Go. You have been restored to be sent. Romans 10:14-15, but how will people call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him, Jesus, of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher or a messenger? How will they preach unless they have been commissioned and sent for that purpose? Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creation. Your world needs you. What if you've been positioned? Pastor Thomas preached so well about there's no coincidences. Last Sunday, if you've not read it, you watched it, you should go back and watch it. And what if you've been positioned in time and space by God on purpose to talk to the people that he's put in your world about him? What if He has positioned you in that uni lecture? What if he's positioned you opposite that person at work who really annoys you, but you're the person who has been designed by God to tell them about the goodness of God at work in your life? What if they're the only person that they're going to meet is you who's going to tell them about Jesus? It's all good being connected. We love church. It's all good being empowered. But if you do not go, it's all pointless. Because it's our commission by God is not to stay. It's to go and be sent. You have been restored for a purpose. And that purpose is your friends, your family, your colleagues, the person you sat next to on the bus for a few times in a row, and it's a bit of a coincidence. Maybe it's God setting it up for you to knock it out of the park. He's done the hard work of aligning everything. You've just got to talk because you have been sent by God. Do me a favor, just grab this again. This right here is going to help you this week, I promise. It's got so much good stuff in it. It's got the prayer that we pray. It tells us about who Jesus is and the life that Jesus has lived. And gosh, this is a resource for you to take. My friends, our city needs you. Our city. Gosh, we went out with the, we do this thing as young adults. And this is like detour, but it's fine. We did this thing called Red Frogs. And we just launched it, right? Like, if you don't know what it is, it's we go out into the city and we go out from 10 p.m. till 3 a.m. And the only thing I think every time is my city needs Jesus. Your city. When you see people sat on the side of the road sobbing their hearts out because they've got no hope, your city needs Jesus. When you see those people who act one way at home, out and about, but then they get home and they're just sad and broken, they need Jesus. Those people you see in the streets and you think, oh, why do they look so downcast? Downcast, they need Jesus. They need the hope of the world. You have a potential this week to bring hope to the hopeless. It's Jesus. So I want you to take this. I want you to pray over it. Would you stand to your feet for me? I could preach like another hour on this, but we don't need to. Because if you get it, you get it. Your heart's racing a little bit. You're feeling a little bit like, oh gosh, this has been a bit challenging. You're starting to think of people in your mind right now. Friends, family, people that you've done life with for so long and that you've never had the opportunity. You've never said you've had the opportunity. Never told them about where you were and where you are now because of the restoration of Jesus. I want you to close your eyes in this moment. We're going to do two responses. And we're going to do one more response tonight, which is where you're going to respond to be filled afresh by the Holy Spirit. So make sure you come back for it. The first response is this. Holding this leaflet in your hand that has those four points. God loves me. I've sinned. Jesus died. I need to decide to live for God. I want you to hold that right now and think, who has God positioned you to tell about Jesus? Who has God put in your world? Might be one, might be 100. If you've got someone right now and you're making a decision, I'm going to get connected, maybe you already are, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, come back tonight. But you're making a decision right now. God, here I am, send me to my world, my friends, my family and colleagues. Use me. I want you to lift your hand right now. Front to back, left to right. You're making a decision right now going, God, I've been restored for a purpose. The good news doesn't end with me. This is the starter's pistol. Go. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count down from three. And if you've got your hands raised, I want you to keep them high. I want you to close your eyes. And I simply want you to go, God, here I am. send me. 3, 2, 1. Come on, start to lift your voices right now. Start to lift your voices. Come on, front to back, left to right. Come on, start to lift your voices. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. God, send me to my family. Send me to my friends. Send me to those I'm leading. Send me to my colleagues at work. Send me to my university campus. Send me to my school. Send me, send me, send me, send me. God might be dropping names of people into your heart right now, into your mind right now. You might start thinking of people. That is your sign from God. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go and make disciples. It's time to go and tell people of the goodness of God. Father God, for every hand raised, right now I pray. God, would you open supernatural doors that have been closed for so long to tell people about Jesus. God, I pray for those that have loved ones, family members and friends, that for so long they've been around, but they've just not had the opportunity. God, I pray this week, would there be an opportunity? God, I pray for boldness and courage to arise right now. God, I pray for every person, hand raised or not, would you break our heart for what breaks yours? Break our heart for our city, our people, your people, our home, Manchester. Break our hearts, Lord, for this nation, for those that you've placed us with. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. I'm coming to land. One more response I want to do. Please, let me encourage you to come back tonight. I'm going to recap a bit of this. I'm going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to get down to praying for some people. Come tonight to get charged up to go. But again, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I've been talking about this God who wants to restore you. And as I was, your heart was racing a bit. You felt a little bit uncomfortable because you're like, yeah, I've got some stuff going on in my world that I know ain't good. I'm doing some stuff, looking at some stuff, saying some stuff that I know isn't good for me and isn't what I was designed for. Maybe you've been coming to church all your life. Maybe you've been coming to church for one day. But you know, you don't want to keep looking for cheap fixes, living with the brokenness and pain you're going through. You know you need Jesus. You need God to restore you. We call it being a Christian, a follower of God. Yeah, you're still going to have questions and you're still going to go through stuff, but you're going to go through it connected to God who has a plan and purpose for your life. If that's you, I'm going to count down from 3. I want you to be brave. No one's looking around. This is between you and God. If you're here, you need to be restored by God, filled by the Holy Spirit to go. You want purpose to your life. I want you to lift your hand in 3. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. In 2, he wants to restore you and connect you with him again. In 1, lift your hand right now if that's you. Yep, hands going up nice and high so I can see. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Keep it up. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Who else am I praying for right now? I see you far at the back. Thank you so much. Keep it nice and high. No one's looking around. Yeah. Three more seconds. Your heart might be racing. Bible says that God knocks on the door of our heart and waits for us to answer. You putting your hand up is answering to God, going, I need you. Last moment. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad I waited for that. Okay, you can put your hands down. Here's what we're going to do. The Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. We will be restored. So if you just put your hand up, I want you to pray this with everything you've got. We're going to help you as a church. We're all going to pray it. But repeat this with me. Dear Lord Jesus. Come on, church, everyone together. Dear Lord Jesus. I believe you're real. And I can see now that you love me. I know I'm not perfect. And I've made some mistakes. So right now I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for me. But then you rose from the dead. So I want to stop living my way and invite you into my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. From now on, from this moment, from this day, my life is yours and I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, it says all of heaven rejoices. Come on, would you join with heaven right now?
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.